Hey guys, welcome to the show. 888-659-3727. Great to be here. You're listening to The Bald Truth. This is the Hair Loss Show. Every Tuesday night, we are here doing our thing for, I guess it's almost 20 fucking years.
Jesus.
Okay. He spoke, so I got to flip over to him.
Sorry. It's just when you say that, it blows my mind.
How do you think I feel?
20 years ago, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, managing a bar.
Yeah,
and you were doing this.
Well, I was just getting involved in the industry. I was just writing the book. I was actually published in 98 and got on the air in 98. So what is it? Almost 2016. So 18 years.
Okay. All right. 18.
That's a long time.
Still a long time, man. You know what? Right now, your career could join the military.
Yes.
It's 18 years old.
Yes. Or I could retire from the military.
But still not old enough to drink.
And I could retire. I could be a retired cop soon.
And yeah, that's true.
Should have done that. I should have done that. by the way, guys, want to welcome, let you guys know that we are actually going to be airing the program live also on a new resource, which is Diamond Club TV. So I think that's diamondclubtv.com. Andrew Zarian can correct me if I'm wrong. And, of course, we are on iHeartRadio. So, guys who are listening to the broadcast through iHeartRadio, if you're new to the show, if you're new through Diamond Club TV, this is the Hair Loss Show. I am a guy who's been dealing with hair loss for well over two decades. I'm the founder of the American Hair Loss Association. I'm the author of The Bald Truth and The Truth About Women's Hair Loss. I also happen to be the founder of the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. The guy who is not actually next to me but appears to be next to me, he's actually up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Joe Tillman, is the original hair transplant mentor. What does that mean? That means, I want to explain what that means before you explain what it means.
Good. Okay, because I don't know.
That means that you were a guy who was fucked up at a very young age, who made the wrong decisions, who, just like so many others out there, who continue to make the wrong choices based on marketing and naivete and the inability to really, you know, realize, not inability, but just you trust what a doctor says.
Exactly.
You have no idea how dirty this industry, as well as the entire cosmetic surgery industry, actually is. So you're a guy who unfortunately got screwed up, went through the repair process, got involved in the industry, worked for one of the most well-known clinics in the world, Hassan & Wong, also worked for Dr. Rahal, and is now kind of like an independent consumer advocate and consumer educator in his own right. And you've kind of been part of the show on and off for a few years.
A few years, yeah. I mean, I don't remember when I first called in contributing, but I remember I think when I really started to get involved on a fairly regular call-in basis was around 2011. So about 4 years ago, that's when I started calling in on a fairly regular basis. Before that, it was
I remember that. I was like, oh, Jesus, it's Tillman again.
Yeah, God, that guy again. Yeah. Jesus, who let him get through? Screeners, you're not doing your job. But
yeah, that's actually when I stopped having screeners. So I wasn't doing my own job.
Coincidence?
But you know, if you're just tuning in, we're not here to sell you anything. We are not here to promote any specific product or service. We're here to guide you in a safe direction, tell you the truth about this really fucked up industry. It's very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
And sadly, this is no exaggeration, and I will repeat this on every broadcast because I do. 2/3 of men by the age of 35 will suffer with some degree of hair loss. 40% of hair loss sufferers are women. This is a silent epidemic of biblical proportions that affects just about every household in this country and around the world. So, you know, when I started doing this, when people in radio, and I put that in air quotes, told me that this is a program that would never last, this is a niche broadcast, why would anyone want to listen to a show about hair loss each and every week? The reason they want to listen is because we are the only legitimate platform that's not selling anything, that's talking about a subject that provides the hugest demographic of all humankind, the ability to talk about something that society doesn't allow us to talk about. And to this day, you know, we had an interview earlier with a company in Europe that's doing trichopigmentation. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about just how just naive people are, how price-oriented people are, how commodity-driven this industry has become. The fact that people really aren't doing their due diligence, the fact that as much as we are suffering with hair loss, you know, as many people who are suffering in this world, we still can't really talk about it. And because of that fact, it makes us vulnerable. And that's why so many people are being taken advantage of. And that's why it's a $3.5 billion a year industry where 99% of the products and services that are being promoted don't fucking work. That's because of that vulnerability. We're
capitalism
easy prey.
At its finest. Capitalism at its finest, though.
Well, no, listen, I am a capitalist. It's
of course.
Great. It's great to be, you know, this is, I would say, charlatanism at its finest, in my view.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's, you know, the ability to take advantage of the vulnerable, and it's fucking easy. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about what happens online, when I am sent a post or somebody that writes something about what we do or what I do or what other people who are trying to actually help people do, and they are saying that, you know, we might be, you know, say we're involved in hair transplantation, you know, that we're just, you know, concerned about selling hair transplants and all that shit. Guys, don't get a fucking hair transplant. A hair transplant is your last resort. What I try to do is provide people a safe direction, help them navigate this insane industry. So if you decide to get a hair transplant, at least you have a fucking fighting chance.
That's the thing, is that you're saying, you know, how crazy it is that we're on every week and, you know, we've got these, you know, great resources out there, but we're not trying to sell anything. And the natural response is, well, Spencer, you've got the IAHRS and doctors to, you know, they're trying to get their business going. Well,
of course.
Like you said, it's like we're telling people not to have hair transplants if they can get away with it.
That's right. And if you're going to have a hair transplant, these are the guys that seem to be doing the best work out there on a consistent basis.
Yep.
So, yes, they're going to pay a monthly screening fee to be a part of what we do because somebody has to pay the bills. You guys who are listening to the show, you're not paying the fucking rent.
If you want to,
we could figure that out. If a million of you out there want to send us money every month, then we'll make that happen.
All it takes is a million people to send a measly dollar.
That's right.
That's all we're asking for.
That's right. And we will keep this thing running for as long as we can. Actually, it would end up being more, we need to do more, but still, a $1.50. And we can make that happen. But you know what? No one wants to help. No one wants to help out.
No. They do want to take, though.
Oh, you damn right they do.
Make no mistake. They want to take.
They definitely want to take. You know, there was a guy that, and I was just alerted to a post today that I don't think was approved yet, but I'm sure that it will be approved, or maybe it was approved, whatever it was, talking about the artist hair transplant robot, again, spewing ancient information about this product. And when I say ancient, you know, this robot has evolved tremendously, exponentially in just 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still talking about the size of the punches and the fact that they were, you know, using a larger punch size. And this was back in the day compared to what guys are doing by hand today. That is no longer the truth.
No.
Yet these guys are still putting this information out there. What is their agenda?
Well, I think it's important that sometimes even if there is a post or some sort of comment made that is obviously agenda-driven, I think it's in the benefit of everyone that's reading it to see a point-counterpoint type of scenario unfold.
100%. That's why we allow it.
Yeah, to address that, right? And, I mean, you can't have one voice screaming from the rooftops without having another equally powerful voice talking about the other side of the coin.
But here's the problem. You have the voice screaming from the rooftops that is screaming complete misinformation, and then another voice comes in to provide some logic and some reality. And then it's the voice that has the, you know, the backing and the science and the reality behind it that is kind of then demonized for whatever reason. So it becomes a catch-22. But I agree 100%. Listen, I mean, I think the discussion needs to happen. And I think that you know how I feel about the evolution of this industry. What's happening is we have the robotics coming in, and we also have this Turkish model of surgical hair restoration where it's a very tech-driven industry. And the entire industry is being taken over by both models. Now, frankly, the vast majority of the industry is being taken over by the Turkish model when it comes to FUE.
Yeah. It is.
That's what's happening. It's a much less and much cheaper barrier to entry.
Of course.
So of course that's the way it's going to happen. What consumers don't understand is, and what some of these hardcore forum guys don't understand is, the sheer level of damage that's being done when you're going to these cut rate places in foreign lands. Unfortunately, you know, when guys are, and I believe me, I have no problem with people traveling to get a hair transplant if they're going to a qualified clinic.
Of course.
But they are few and far between.
You know, this is becoming more and more of an issue. I actually wrote an article about this, or a blog post. I don't know if you saw this.
I don't read your stuff.
You don't read my stuff.
Yeah.
No, I thought I sent you a link, but I was talking about how it's important to know who's doing the procedure. And you know, as long as you're informed about what you're about to go through, then fine. There's nothing wrong. You know, if you want to go to a clinic that has, you know, 20 patients in the same clinic getting a procedure on the same day, fine. But as long as you know that up front, that it's not going to be a doctor working on you. It's going to be a team of technicians. The doctor might draw the hairline and walk out the door and, you know, draw 20 other hairlines. As long as you know that, fine. I have no problem with that. But if you don't know that, if you're going in expecting it to be a doctor, then I have a problem with it. I was actually talking to someone. I've been getting a lot more emails lately about patients that are asking, you know, they're saying, hey, Joe, I've been talking to, you know, various doctors. What do you think about this, 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 and this? Or this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And I try to, you know, I don't want to bash anyone, but I've gotten to the point where I've had to let people know, are you aware that this clinic does not, the doctor actually doesn't do the extractions for FUE? And every time I get a response saying, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Why didn't they tell me this?
Of course.
And it's like, well, you know, it's talk to them about it. But it's a growing problem. And you know, what's interesting is while you were first starting to talk about this, I was thinking about my trip to the ISHRS meeting in 2013. And that's when I first realized, you said something key, the low threshold for cost to get into the industry.
The low barrier to entry.
Low barrier to entry.
Right.
I was writing about that when I came back from the meeting, because that's when my eyes opened, because I saw almost no one that I recognized. I mean, I saw a lot of doctors I knew, but there's so many new doctors.
Oh, dude, it's crazy.
They're all doing FUE, and I'd never heard of them before.
Right.
And it hit me. It's like, you know, you got the NeoGraft and these other machines that are coming in. And of course, even without a machine, the handheld but the technician-based clinics or the motorized outfits, they're everywhere.
Well,
that's what I realized. It's like, well, it's so much cheaper to get into the industry to begin with.
Well, and also here's what I find interesting. The old school guys, the guys, the original members of like the IHRS, or the original guys who are really – you know, did their homework. They were great at what they did. They created a tremendous – the right infrastructure to create the best results. They still think they have some sort of control over the field. And, you know, now that they feel that they're losing that control a little bit, they're panicking. They don't understand it, that, you know, anyone now can get in. And it was the same way before, as far as being able to hang up an MD or DO, hang up shingle and say you're an expert. But you had to make an investment.
Yep.
You got to make an investment in time, in staff, in equipment. That is no longer the case. And the consumer doesn't understand that. So the guy who's confused about the A team and the B team in the chat room, what we're trying to explain to you guys is that There are sites out there that create, you know, different types of lists that have A teams and B teams. They call them different things. They may not necessarily refer to them as the A team and the B team. But based on price, based on what physicians are willing to pay, they have these different levels of entry.
Based on descriptives of
yes.
their abilities.
That's true, yes. That's a good part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's based on their descriptives. The descriptions are based on, in my view, eventually what they're willing to pay. So, you know, if they're willing to pay a certain amount of at a certain level, they are described in a much more favorable light as far as their abilities, their time in the industry. The bios just are significantly better.
More convincing superlatives are
yes,
are printed or shared.
So I guess our point is that you really got to be careful out there. And, you know, you go on the message forums and you see these people shortlist. Don't even go by the fucking shortlist, man.
No.
Go out there and create your own shortlist. And we were talking about trichopigmentation today with the company Pro Hair Clinic in Belgium. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting is, and what I find interesting about just the way the industry is evolving, is now this is the new gimmick. This is the new gimmick. Everyone is now jumping on SMP or trichopigmentation or something to bring in more revenue. But just like with hair transplantation, there's only a handful of people out there who are willing to pay for the right equipment, pay for the right training, get the right staff. You know, be honest with their prospective patient to let them know what the real limitations are.
Yep.
Go in there and not fucking draw on a 10-year-old's hairline on their scalp. People are willing to actually utilize the less invasive and less permanent inks, even though they know that a lot of people want the one-and-done thing. They'll walk away because it's not one-and-done.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me either, but that's how guys are. We just want to be fixed.
Of course.
You know, you think about James, who went to your friend on Long Island, who initially had to talk him out of getting permanent SMP. I was like, listen, dude, at the very least, call the show. Listen to what Joe Tillman has to say because he knows this part of the industry very well. Talk to him. You know what my stance is. If you're going to do not get your head permanently tattooed, period. I don't care if it's the best artist in the world.
I agree 100%.
Don't get it permanently tattooed.
I don't see any reason for it. I mean, obviously, if someone does their research and they do understand the realistic pros and cons of it, and they still make the decision, God bless them. More power to them. But in my opinion, no one should get any sort of permanent type of S&P procedure for their scalp. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you know, there's a couple of interesting points in today's interview, which we will have some segments up shortly. One is, you know, in time, actually, you may want to be able to have the ability to change the positioning of your hairline. So while a person may start off conservatively or, conversely, if they start out younger, and they have a little bit of a more youthful hairline, they could actually bring that hairline up in time. If you don't love the shape of the hairline initially, it could basically just fade away. And
you're not married to it.
And you could redo it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to me.
Yeah, that's always been one of the great upsides to it is you're not married to it. You know, it's not permanent, meaning anything that you don't like, it's not permanent. It goes away. It disappears. You can get it fixed with time.
And, you know, and that's one of the things that I've always been a big fan of the FUE and the right hands done by the right practitioner, done to the right candidate.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I talk about this and I do get a little blowback about it. You listen, I know there's no way, and I don't care who's listening and who disagrees with me. There's no way you can get 100% of the best quality hair using FUE alone. I absolutely believe in a hybrid technique, especially if you are a higher Norwood. However, if you're a young patient and you kind of want to dip your toe in the water and you want to see how hair transplantation is going to work for you, while you're still, you know, maybe There's a potential to lose some graphs in the end by not doing a strip first. At the that would be the worst case scenario. At the very least, you can go in there, you could have a procedure done, you can live with it for a few years, and if it's done by a really good clinic, you can always go back on it. You know, you're not stuck having more surgeries. You could shave your head for the most part, or at least clip it very close.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's why, you know, I do understand when there are doctors who tell me, and guys like Dr. Kara Dennis, that's, you know, he'll say, listen, if you really want to get the most bang for your buck, you have to do this trip first, which is true, because you can only get 100% of the sweet spot with that strip. However, I don't personally recommend that to anyone under the age of 35. I just don't think we're mentally prepared to make that decision. You know?
Age, for me, I think a little bit younger is okay. But that's just my opinion. But the thing is I do.
Yeah, your opinion doesn't count on this show.
It doesn't, because I'm on this side of the camera.
That's right. And look at what it says on the bottom. What does that say in the lower third?
Panther Coburn.
That's it. No, I understand. And it has to do with level of hair loss and, you know, where you've progressed. And I understand all of that. I'm just talking about as men. You know, I don't care if you're a 35-year-old man. I don't care what you – well, it depends on what you've been through in life. But most guys, especially in this generation, or the guys who are reaching, you know, within 30 to 35 years old now, in my view, and maybe I hope I'm not insulting anybody, I mean, they just don't seem mentally mature enough or equipped to make such a life-changing decision.
Look, how can it offend anyone if – I mean, as guys, we know we're idiots.
Right.
We're just not, you know, women develop mentally at 19. We develop mentally at 43.
Yes. And I'm not even there yet.
Yeah. I can't say I'm there either. I'm kind of behind the curve. But
yeah.
Anyway, it makes sense. And I understand where you're coming from on it. You're talking about it as a general rule, but I think that, you know, there are definitely cases that do warrant younger introduction to strip. Like, say, if you've got a...
I don't disagree.
Like, yeah. I mean, the advanced Norwood guys, it kills me. It kills me. I get, like, these advanced Norwood guys come up to me, you know, Norwood 6, 31 years old. FUE only. Yeah.
I can definitely see that. Let's take a phone call, see who this is, and then we can talk more about this stuff. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this, and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Spencer.
Oh, my God. Joe. What?
Joe.
Yes.
How are you, man? What's going on?
Oh, my God.
I've been living a life of hell.
All right. You know what? You deserve an opening. Hold on.
My name is Joe from Staten Island.
Excuse me.
Would you like me to reiterate it? Have you heard it? Excuse me.
My name is Joe from Staten Island.
Joe, man, welcome back. It is good to hear from you. Obviously, it doesn't sound like there's good news. What's going on?
No, my life has ended with low-level laser light therapy. I've been institutionalized. I've lost all my hair on top, and I've been a total mess.
All right. Well, a very, very profound statement you just made. Let's talk about exactly what happened.
Well, as you know, I met a certain doctor. I won't mention his name. And I used it for about 4 months, a laser cap. And it cost me all my hair on top, Spencer, and I've been a mess.
Well, let me just say this, and this is not a I told you so situation at all. My whole thought to you, my when you initially said that you wanted to move in this direction, I had told you that, you know, I'm not a complete, you know, we don't recommend any low-level laser light therapy through the American Hair Loss Association.
Nope.
The reason for that is, you know, most of the evidence that we've seen has been anecdotal. There are doctors that we have a lot of respect for that do believe in these products and do promote them or sell them within or in their practices. You were very adamant about it, And I had actually told you that maybe you should try to get something different than the laser cap based on price and based on, you know, if you're going to go for this, then there are different devices out there. But my whole thing was I did not believe that it would get you to where you needed to go because I know you for so many years. You know, you really, in order for you to be happy, you needed a full head of hair. That's why getting corrective surgery wasn't for you. That's why wearing a hairpiece was out of the question because you didn't want to do that. So I thought it was very interesting that you were willing to go this route. So you decided to go this route. And when you said you wanted to go this route, you know, I did say that I would give you, some help as far as helping to try to get a discount and all that stuff. But I was never that excited. And I wasn't too excited about you starting any type of new topical preparations, which I know you did also, right?
Right. But I don't think that was it. It was convinced with laser cap that costed my hair.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you think the laser cap costs your hair, that means that the laser cap was actually doing something.
Doing something negative. It made my hair fall out on it. And it's been 5 months and hasn't grown back, so I don't think it will ever grow back.
Now, have you continued to use it?
No, I don't. Of course not. Well, I continue to use it.
Well, it's just like anything else. When you start minoxidil, when you start finasteride, you can go through a telogen effluvium. If it's actually something that's affecting the hair growth cycle, then it's the type of thing you kind of have to, at least what most doctors would recommend, you wait it out. And Joe, you've heard these experiences with medications before.
Of course, yeah. It happens all the time where a shed is induced, the hair growth cycle is reset, and it takes a few more months, but it starts to thicken back up and returns, and usually stronger than it was before it started to shed.
You know, I've been in this industry for a long time, and while I don't recommend low-level laser light therapy for most people, I've never heard of any case where it's caused them permanent hair loss. And I'm not saying that you're not, you know, the anomaly, but I do kind of think that if this is something that you believe affected your hair loss, then it's also something that I believe can help you to regenerate hair. It's done something to you. So I would probably continue using it and see if your hair grows back.
Well, I haven't used it for 5 months.
Okay, so how many months were you on it?
5 months, but I noticed all my hair, not all of it, most of it, came out, and I was institutionalized this summer.
Now, did you talk to the doctor about it?
No, I didn't. What are you really going to say?
What do you mean, what are you going to say? Are you going to tell him this is what's happening? Maybe he would have given you some good advice. Maybe he would have said, you know what, this has happened to other patients of mine, and they've stayed on the therapy, and then it grew back.
Or they did this, or they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, anything.
Yeah, maybe I should speak with him. But I've been so emotionally devastated, Spencer. It's been a horror show. I've lost a lot of money. I've lost my mind. I haven't been able to call the show. I've never been had an uncle on the computer. I'm totally depressed.
Well, listen, man, I'm sorry to hear it. And I'm not saying that you're overreacting because I know you've been through a lot in your life. But there are a lot of guys out there who start medication, who start therapy, go through the exact same thing you've been through, and they come out of it the other end just fine. But you have to stick with the process. And since you were getting – hold on. Excuse me. I almost choked to death. Since you were getting you were under a doctor's supervision initially – I'm surprised that you just didn't contact him.
Well, what do you have said? This can't be happening.
No, that's not true.
We just told you what he could say.
He saw you. He met with you. He took the time. He told you that he wouldn't treat you unless he had a chance to assess your hair and to meet with you. That alone is responsible. He could have just sent you a laser cap and marketed the fact that Joe from Staten Island is using the laser cap.
Exactly. A lot of people would.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you one final question. Is it possible the hair can grow back without using the laser cap?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's possible. It really depends. I don't know. You know, listen, you've been dealing with hair loss for so long. I mean, the hair that you lost could have just been last miniaturization legs, you know, and it just, you know, threw it into a telogen. And, you know, you probably did grow some back that you don't realize, but it probably grew back weaker and less cosmetically significant. Mm-hmm. So it just looks like it's thinner overall. There's a lot of things that can potentially help you regain some of that hair. That's why you have to stick with it, man, or at least see the doctor.
See the doctor? What'd you say? I can't hear you.
See the doctor. Call him up. Let him know what's going on.
Yeah, but I felt bad. He never called me to see what's going on.
Dude. He met with you. He gave you price. He gave you the device at half price or cost. He was willing to, and he hasn't exploited your name on his website or on this program. You know, it's really your responsibility to call him, in my view, and to let him know what's going on in your life. And let him know, hey, listen, doc, this is what's happening. He wasn't treating you surgically.
Joe, you should give him a call. You should reach out, call him up, and say, this is what's going on. What do you recommend? Let him know what's up. He may have some sort of answer for you, but you won't know until you call.
Yes, I'll have to do that. Yeah. All right. I apologize to you guys, my main fans, why I haven't been calling, but I've been an emotional, I've been totally devastated by this.
Well, here, listen to this. This is your first step. The fact that you picked up the phone, the call, shows me that you're probably a little better.
Well, I've been institutionalized for 2 weeks. I'm not kidding about that.
I know you're not kidding about it. So what was it like? How was the institution?
Didn't help me any.
Yeah, but I'm sure, first of all, you're not drinking in there, which is good.
I've stopped drinking altogether. I've been emotional. I've been an emotional basket case. All I do is lay in bed all day.
But I need, this is the question I need to ask you, and then I won't keep you on too long. You wear a bandage and a cap everywhere you go. So really, what is the significance in your life? How does it really change your life as far as your day-to-day having a little less hair?
Because I know.
And that's that. But the world doesn't know. You're the people that you, I don't know if you're socializing at all, but the people that see you on a day-to-day basis, they see Joe from Staten Island who's been wearing that cap for 30 years. They don't know what the fuck is going on under there. So to me, it's like, why not just fucking go for it? Get yourself a hairpiece. Go out there. Do whatever you can. You can still wear the cap. Go out there and try to live your life. You know, okay, you took a shot. You wanted to give, see how the laser cap worked. It didn't work out for you. Go on to the next thing.
Spencer, I never in a million years thought that it would cause me any harm. I never thought that was possible.
I was very honest with you as far as, you know, if in fact any this does work to some degree, there's always a chance of going into a telogen effluvium. If it affects your hair growth cycle, you could lose hair from it. Period. That's it.
Yep.
I was not a fan of you doing anything except potentially getting your plugs fixed, getting a little extra hair placed, and my number one option for you would have been to get a hairpiece.
Now, let me ask you one final question. Have you ever heard of anyone losing hair with this laser therapy?
I've heard of some people going through sheds, especially from the laser hoods. But you don't hear a lot of guys who are talking about sheds from laser caps. But same with PRP. I hear guys who say they've had PRP, they go through tremendous sheds, and then you see these people that they go online, especially the women, and they're like, I grew half my hair back. You know, it's like with anything else. I do believe if that hair was destined to stick around for a while, then it will grow back in time. Or you can maybe use some minoxidil. I would say that if you believe, because if I remember correctly, you were using this doctor's branded minoxidil preparation, right?
Right.
So how do you know it wasn't that?
Well, I think it was that because it's only minoxidil with a few other things, so I really don't think it was that.
Jesus Christ, how long have you been listening to the fucking show, dude?
14 years.
Yeah, minoxidil is one of the gives you some of the worst sheds you can possibly get.
Joe, you know this stuff. You know this. So now, I mean, you got these multiple things you've been doing. It could be anything.
And then for 5 months,
and then you stopped it all. You just cold turkeyed it.
I freaked out over the shit.
Okay. Listen, I'm not blaming you for this. I understand the emotional aspects of it. But you've been listening to the show. So I don't even think you're listening. I think you just want the airtime or you just want to kind of contribute. But you're not actually listening to the show. And, it's funny. I'm not the only person that's thought that. People have written me that. Because if you have been listening to the show for so long, A, you'd probably be a little happier, I think. A little bit more.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just a little bit more equipped to deal with what you just went through. But also understand that that was a real reality. As soon as you intervene in any way, you can possibly cause yourself to go into a shed. And the fact that you're using a minoxidil preparation with Retin-A and the laser cap, you're giving yourself a possible double whammy.
Well, that was the worst mistake I made in my life, getting involved with that protocol.
So you think it was worse than having your original hair transplants with Norman Ehrenreich?
Yes. Much worse.
Really?
Happy. Really?
I wasn't happy. All these years I was existed with a hair like this and didn't do with this. That didn't make me as depressed as this. You understand what I'm saying?
It's hard for me to believe, and I think it's a different level because throughout the entire time I've known you, you've said that you wanted to kill yourself and that you were, disabled by your depression over your hair loss. I think that maybe you were getting a little bit better, and then this kind of just hits you again.
Let me ask something here, Joe. Your the hair that fell out. This is your transplanted hair.
Yes.
The same transplanted hair you told me would not grow any longer than however long it was growing. It wouldn't grow. It
right.
You haven't had a haircut in forever because it just doesn't grow, so you don't bother with it. Right.
Right.
Okay. So. How did this hair look? Did it look natural at all, or is it just wasn't enough?
No, it wasn't enough. It was very sparse.
Okay. All right. So it wasn't a matter of it looking unnatural. It was just not enough there. That's all there was to it.
Right.
Okay.
Not enough.
Fair enough. So, yeah, what Spencer's saying is that basically you're experiencing hair loss all over again, and that can be traumatic as hell. I get it. I really do. I do get it. But at the same time, what you just did potentially is not so much of a mistake getting involved with this. It was a mistake to quit cold turkey all the treatments that you're involved in to begin with as a knee-jerk reaction to your fear that you're causing problems. Right? And so what Spencer's saying, and I completely understand this, and I agree with this, is that listening to the show for 14 years, some of this should have clicked, that you should at least call someone. And I understand the depression issue. And I don't want to overlook that. Okay, it sucks. I've been involved with that before, but at the same time, the amount of time that you spent listening to the show, if you were indeed listening, you should have understood that there is an issue with every single hair loss remedy that has any sort of chance of working. Will cause some sort of shed in the first few months for the majority of people out there, including the surgical option.
I mean, how many years have you asked me, Joe, why don't I just get a hair transplant? Why don't I just transplant the back of my scalp? Why don't I just do this? Because I don't want to fuck with a good thing. You know, I don't mind having to spray my hair and to paint my head. And yes, I know there's probably a 95% chance that if I decided to increase the density of my thinning area with a hair transplant and thicken up the part line, that I would have a good outcome. Incredible chance, especially due to my genetics and the fact that I've done so well on finasteride all these years.
Right.
Maybe to the point where I would never have to paint my head for another 10, 15 years. But am I willing to deal with the possible consequences if things don't work out? No, I'm not.
Nope.
I don't want that in my life. So, when you you've been asking me for years why I don't do this, why I don't do that, why don't I try this, why don't I try that? Because I don't want to deal with the possibility of things not working out for me. And right now, I could live comfortably within my own skin, even though it's a little bit of a pain in the ass, as is. So these are choices that we make, man. I actually think that, you know, Joe is right. And I think that, you know, you were a little premature in kind of like abandoning ship after 5 months. Just my opinion.
But this device turned me into a ball, Dan.
How do you know it was the device? And it was the device and not the minoxidil itself.
Well, something or another.
I would bet, what is it, dollars to donuts? That was probably the minoxidil over the laser device that caused you to go through shit.
I would agree with that, actually.
Shouldn't have grown back by now?
Well, no. You stopped taking it.
It could take another 6 months just to start to see anything.
Well, I just want you to know, you know, and I got one final thing I want to say is I got another whammy that Bioprost didn't turn out to work either.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's not a whammy. That's just, you know, you're disappointed at this point. But it's not over to the fat lady saying, dude, we don't know what's going to happen with that completely.
Well, a year ago, I was much happier before starting this program, this protocol.
Well, I hate to hear that, but I got to tell you, you could have fooled me, dude. You could have fooled me and the rest of the audience.
I wasn't depressed like this. I'm unable to call a show. I wasn't bedridden all day. This is unnatural, Spencer.
Dude, you would call the show and tell me that you were bedridden all day and that you were naked and that you were just, well, you would just like fry up steaks in your bedroom.
But now it's even worse. It's even worse.
Oh. Listen, dude, I'm sorry. We are here for you. All I can say is that, you know, what has happened to you is not necessarily atypical. And there is a chance of regrowth. There is a chance of recouping the hairs you lost, especially since you said that those were transplanted hairs that had been growing for the last 30 years. To me, it's unlikely that all of a sudden they would fall out permanently, especially with the laser cap. And again, that's just my opinion. I'm not a physician, but I think you were using a combination of treatments. I would say that the minoxidil probably had, in my view, just based on anecdotal experience, more of an effect than the laser cap.
But let me just ask you this. The laser cap will perform electrolysis on me. Is that possible?
No.
No. No.
Why do you say that?
Because, the lights aren't, they're not strong enough to fucking, you know, burn your scalp and to cause, I mean, electrolysis.
There's a reason it's called low level.
You know, did you feel any pain? Did you feel like any snapping? Like it was like a rubber band snapping your head.
Did you hear any smell? No. Any hair burning?
Yeah.
No.
But I mean, it basically it's like taking 100, you know, cat pointers, laser pointers, and putting them into a helmet.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That was fear, and it was causing electrolysis, maybe on my scalp. No.
You know, I love you, Joe, and I always will. But you're a guy who proclaims to be like a leading hair loss researcher online. And the fact that you would even ask that question is like, it's so out of left field and so out of character for someone who says he does all the research that you do.
I will step in and say, and this doesn't really apply, but it's kind of a similar situation. Doctors make the worst patients.
That's true.
That's kind of... I do see where, yeah, you may know a lot, but when it's your own shit on the line, you start to, you know, lose your mind a little bit because it's you. You're so used to telling other people, you know, you being people in positions of authority. But then when shit hits the fan in your own backyard.
Oh, I know.
It's a different story.
I know. I've been running around like I was on fire.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way that I am. So, Joe, listen, I'm glad that you were able to pick up the phone and call. It's good to hear your voice. I'm sorry that you're dealing with this. I would call the doctor immediately, and I know that he'll take the time to speak with you, and I can guarantee you he'll give you good advice.
Call him tomorrow.
All right.
I'll let it go for 5 months?
Yes. Will you do that?
Yes, I will. Okay. I love you, Spencer. I love you, Joe. And
all right. Well, we love you, too.
Good hearing from you, buddy.
I know. There were rumors I died. Right? That's not true.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you called so people know you didn't die. All right, dude. Call him tomorrow. Call us back next week. Let us know what's going on, all right?
Thank you. I love you guys.
All right. You take care.
See you, Joe.
Take care. Jesus. All right. Good night.
That's it. Thanks for watching.
Let's take another phone call. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this? All right. Jesus. I don't know what to say about that, except it's as though he hasn't listened to the show at all. It's like, you know, when you're calling like Rush Limbaugh, whoever he calls on a regular basis, he's not really listening. He just wants to get his voice out there.
Yeah. He likes to hear himself talk.
Because God almighty, I mean, I know that he was using minoxidil or this M35 or whatever it is. It's like a minoxidil retinoid, you know, combo. Mm-hmm. And the laser cap. I can almost guarantee it wasn't the laser cap that made him shed.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't guarantee it, but I can almost guarantee it.
I'd come closer to guaranteeing it than you would, but it's still not 100% guarantee because you never know. People are people. And
yeah, but I mean,
it's
just transplanted hair.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's the thing.
Maybe he actually did get electrolysis.
Maybe he did. No, I've always been suspicious of his hair transplant because, you know, and again, I've not seen his hair transplant. He's told me about it. You know, there was a time when we were trying to, you know, he was trying to ask me questions about maybe even having some sort of repair procedure with the doctors I was working with at the time. And he said this on the air, is how his hair doesn't grow. It gets to a certain length and it stops, like a quarter inch or a half inch or I don't know how long it was.
Yeah, short.
But very, very short, and it just doesn't grow. And I've not seen that before. And it's just, was it actually his transplanted hair that was growing like that, or was it wasn't? Was
I,
it
I actually hair? Have seen that, I forgot. Someone called it something. It's some sort of bizarre, like really unusual phenomenon. And basically, what's happening is. The cycle and hair looks terminal. It's coarse.
Yeah.
It's just such a short life cycle that it grows like maybe a quarter of an inch. And it's obviously shedding, but you're not seeing that.
Yeah. See, I can't reliably say I've never seen that.
I think it might have to do with compression.
Well, that would make sense. But usually I see that manifesting as the kinky kind of wiry hair that is limited in growth. It doesn't grow, you know, really long, but it doesn't stop at like a quarter inch.
Yeah.
But regardless, it is what it is.
Well, first of all, he's never allowed me to see him with his hat off, so I have no idea. But my whole point is, and guys, I'll take your call in a second. No one sees him without his hat,
yeah,
or his turban. So even though he knows it, and I understand, okay, I know it's kind of like knowing that you have a third nipple. But nobody knows it. No one's ever going to see it unless you take off your shirt and point it out. You know, he's walking around his life with a hat on. It's not going to change his life. I mean, I don't know. I get it. It happened to him. But, Joe, I'm sorry that you had to be institutionalized for that one.
Yeah, it's rough. But he's out, so... Yeah, now everything is it's up to him, actually. Pick up the phone, call the doc, and start again. That's why I look at it.
I agree, dude. And I told him I will hook him up. He's just stop dyeing his hair, which I think he may have. Get himself a decent hair system. I'll make sure that he gets it for at least the first one for nothing so that he can try it. Have it cut in. Mm-hmm. And he's like almost 60 years old.
He should do it. I think actually that's the best option.
And he'll look good.
Once it's there and he sees it, he'll be like,
why didn't I do this before?
Yeah, why did I do this before?
Yeah.
Eureka. And then he'll be in a position to have the Joe from Staten Island show.
I would fucking love it. He's got his fanny pack of pills. All right, let's see who this is. If you hang up, I am going to take a break. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hey, man, what's up? All right. Okay. Guys, we're going to take a break. 888-659-3727. I'm Spencer Coburn here with Joe Tillman, who is live from TBT Studios in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm in Los Angeles. We'll be right back after this. Stay with us.
Coast to coast and worldwide.
You know, I just want to say, you know, you guys are doing a great thing. It's such an uncomfortable topic to talk about, especially for a guy, you know, young guys in their early 20s. And, I'm glad that, you know, I could tune in and, you know, listen to you guys.
Spencer Coburn's The Bald Truth.
Hey, guys, welcome back. 888-659-3727. Great to be back. Doing the hair loss show. Have not heard from Joe from Staten Island in months. And that little bumper kind of reminds me of Joe.
I was going to say, it sounded like Joe maybe when he first started calling.
You know, when I was on the radio, the actual radio, which all of you, for you young guys who don't know what a radio is, used to be this thing that was completely separate and apart from the internet. Used to get sound through airwaves. Just, you know.
Isn't that called Wi-Fi?
And we had a complaint line where people would be able to call and complain about their situation, and we would play it on the radio, on the air. So I had a producer, and that's what radio people used to do, that type of stuff. And I have all of these old calls from the complaint line that I'm going to start using again. So I haven't used them for like 10 years. And I remember I had that, and I thought it would be interesting because, or apropos, since Joe just called, this guy kind of reminds me of Joe. So there you go.
I see it.
888-659-3727. Now, I don't know if there's an issue with the phone because the lines light up. I press hello, and they hang up. Now, I have a feeling it's probably an issue with you guys because Joe was able to get through. So as soon as I came in, poured my glass of wine, came back into the studio, all the lines were lit. As soon as I put my face on camera, the lines dropped. Lines just lit again this second when I said that.
Step up, boys. Come on.
We're going to see what happens. Oh, and one just dropped. Let's see if this one is available. Let's take a phone call. 888-659-3727. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this? I hear you. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
Looking for you. Everywhere I go, people say, I'm going to run the broadcast anymore.
I love this guy.
You got rubbles in my mouth.
So how are you not Joe from Staten Island? What's happening?
Bizarro Joe.
All right. Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm literally walking out of store shopping, so I'm like...
You're always walking. When you call, you're always going someplace.
It's because, like, the times I'm not working, you know, like, I'm out and about in the world, and that's when you guys are doing your broadcast, you know? And like when I'm working, obviously I can't call, so I got things to do.
Well, we actually went to see is it Mike from Los Angeles? Is that who you are?
It's Brian.
Brian. Jesus. We actually went to see Brian from Los Angeles. Zarin was in town. I had like 101 temperature and I was on cold medication and I was drinking hot toddies all night. All I remember at the end of the night, all of a sudden, I'm like, how did this motherfucker's pictures get on my fucking phone?
Yeah, like, you were, you know, he was his medicine. don't know what it was, but it was tea and some sort of bourbon or scotch.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
There, right?
It was Jameson. Yeah. It was Jameson Hot Toddies. So after the fifth one, everything just became a haze.
Cold? What?
Yeah.
What cold? I don't have a cold.
The funny thing is that, you know, the bartender, I told him, I said, you know, hook this guy up if you can. And, like, I saw him do the pour, and I was like, is it ever going to stop? I'm like, did he? It was like 20% tea, and the rest was the alcohol. And, yeah, he seriously did a number on you.
Well, I appreciate you doing that to me, because all I remember is I obviously we got home, everything's fine, we took Uber. But all of a sudden I see your pictures on I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? And then apparently I gave you my phone so you could airdrop stuff. And I'm like, now
well,
he's got...
The thing was, you were with Andrew Zarian.
Yes.
Is that his last name?
Yeah.
And what a nice guy. What a nice guy.
He's a beautiful boy. He's a beautiful boy. Gorgeous. It's just absolutely stunning.
Anyways, he was there at the bar, and it was the first time I'd met him. And, Andrew is like the opposite of Spencer when it comes to his fans. Like, he's like, you know, a little known secret. You could have, for all you fans out there, you could have Andrew for less than $100 a month. That's all you got to do, and you could have him. And now, I didn't pay for him, but he was very welcoming to me and stuff. And he was all like, give me your Facebook and blah, blah. And Spencer, I've never actually, you know, I don't know, have your private number. I don't, you know, we're Facebook friends and, you know, I call on the show. But, you know, I don't like to intrude, so... thank God Apple makes these, you know, technological advances where you can do things without actually sharing private information.
Right.
So, you know, by that time you were a little toasty, and Andrew was talking to me about this girl he wants to hook me up with, and I was like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, if I can't have Spencer, I'll take this girl, you know, and joke, little Staten Island joke. But anyways, so I said, he didn't have an iPhone, and me and Spencer have iPhones, so I said, I'll airdrop it to Spencer, and then Spencer can send it to Andrew. And that's what I did that, like, real quick. And the funny thing is, though, is when Spencer started drinking his medicine, the clouds parted and, like, the sun started shining through. And, like, I saw a different Spencer. He's, like, really, like, a little bit less guarded. I mean, there's always, like, an air of security around Spencer. He's always just like, yeah, you seem pretty cool, but at some point you could eat my heart, and I'm going to watch out for that, you know? And so, like, I was like, okay, well, this is cool. And he was, you know, you were much friendlier. But so, yeah, I didn't think that you would lose track of the night. So when you went home, I bet you that was a shock. You see all these, like, pictures of me doing duck faces on your phone.
Yeah, it was awesome. Well, I didn't lose track of the night. There's certain parts that I just don't remember, and that was one of them. And so,
remember when you
go ahead.
Did you remember when you left?
I remember leaving. What happened when I left?
Well, I get, because see, I would spend so much time with you guys that I kind of neglected my table, so I went back and I had to take some orders. When you left, I guess you were like, okay, we can't really wait for him to come back. So you came to one of my tables and you guys were like, see you later. And I was like, in the middle of a spiel, and like, oh, hey, thanks, bye. And then you were like, this guy's the best server. He's the best. He's the greatest. He's going to make it. He's going to stroke your wife and suck your dick. He's going to make it happen for you. And I was like, hey, thanks, bye. And they're like, wow, they really like it. It actually did help, though. They were, you know, whenever you get that vote of confidence, people kind of not, you know, when you spend that much money at those places, they're a little bit like, are you going to make me happy? Are you going to be one of these jerk servers? And
yeah,
saying
but
that,
but
you know,
after
I always,
you said that, you had a lot to live up to.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I wasn't stumbling, though. I seemed okay.
No, you were actually a little bit opposite. You're a little bit more pepper than you usually are. And like I said, a little bit more, I wouldn't say hyper, but a little bit more energetic, you know?
Interesting. Wow. Well, maybe because the woman wasn't around. She always brings me down.
You know? Well, I don't know. There's some issues you got to look into right there.
Yeah,
but,
we'll talk about it. No, I'm glad it all went well in the end. That's all I care about.
Yeah, there was nothing for you to worry about. I think Andrew was a little concerned. I think I heard him say something like, hey, you know, something, I don't know, was it when you were at the bar. And you're like, am I drinking too much? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm coming in and out. But I did see that one pour, and if you've had a few of those, then you're pretty gone by now.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. But, yeah, it was a good time. Andrew enjoyed meeting you. But Andrew, you know, he checks in from everywhere. I'm like, dude, someone is going to fucking kill you one day. There are people out there that are watching you. They have like voodoo dolls, you know, and they despise this guy. They really do. Wow. They write you know, nasty things about him on Facebook and on YouTube and all that stuff. And I'm like, why are you checking in? But
yeah,
you know,
well, you know, he's a different. He's, you know, a decade below me and
two decades
and
below me.
In that, he's in that kind of realm where it's, you know, social media is the thing. It's the norm, and it's like I guess you deal with the consequences. You know, like every generation has their thing, and that's their thing. You know, and I kind of barely missed that generation. I mean, I'm very well apt in technology and all that stuff, but I really don't like social media. I'll be honest, my ex-girlfriend really like screwed me over with social media. Like everywhere she went, checked in, like this, like that, and it became like arguments. I'm like, you know, it was like a third or fourth, fifth life. You know, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, Twitter, and yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to babysit all these different portals, you know, and not to mention, if for all you guys out there, when women do that, that's a way of them creating a sort of context to your behavior. And then they can watch you in another form, you know, like a digital form. They have another eye to keep on you. And if you conform that to that, then you could lead the trouble down the road.
Well, all I know is that he checked in from this restaurant that we were at, and somebody contacted him, a fan who we never met, and said that he lives in Agora. We'll meet you somewhere. And then we ended up meeting these guys in Calabasas. And I'm like, dude, I'm just going to wait outside.
What?
Yeah.
I knew it. I was waiting to hear what you did. Yeah. And I knew it would be like, I'm going to be in my truck with my freaking 45, okay? If you need anything, blow this rape whistle, okay? I got 3 rape whistles and I got a couple pepper sprays.
Like I said, you're on your fucking own, dude. You need me? Whatever.
But, I said that night happened somewhere... Okay, so they're at the ball. Oh yeah, afterwards or how it came to pass?
Like when he actually met his fans. What do you do?
He sits with them and talks to them like they're his best friends. Look, you know what I think? You know what I think fucked me up? I think it was Joe from Staten Island, because I did that 20 years ago.
Well, you got a guy following you around for 15, 20 years, and you know, breaks down in tears when you tell him you're his sidekick,
right?
Or like a, you know, like that kind of stuff can jar you. You know, like I said that night, somewhere in the middle between you two is the right place to be. Right. You know, I was telling him, you know, be careful, you know, just be careful because, you know, you're in L.A. and I don't know. Like, you know, to me, somebody dedicating that much money a month to you, you know, like to help your program and your life is great. But, you know, services are rendered. If he feels you're worth that, then you give him that in entertainment, you know. But you,
that's right.
You know, you don't want to.
But he may
turn into the gimp in his basement, you know, in a box.
That's right, man. I'm telling you. And with Zarian's hair, forget about it. It may happen.
Yeah, man. Then your hair is the least of your worries, you know. Worry about, you know, Marcellus Wallace coming in there with blowtorch and pipe.
No, I was just like, I was just like, dude, you go in there, you do your thing, I'll be out here. I'm cool. He's like, you sure? I'll be right out. 35 minutes later, he's like, oh, yeah, it was a great time. Talked about Microsoft, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, whatever.
Is he okay with, like, he seems a little, what's the word? Like, he's open. Like, he doesn't mind. He can say anything, talking, kind of like Howard Sternish in a serious situation. Like, he'll say anything about himself or his life on air. Is that, would you describe him as that?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty open. I mean, I think, like everybody else, there's a certain shtick factor to whatever people do on the air. But yeah, I mean, I would say he's pretty honest.
So you could say that just about anything that happened that night, I could pretty much say now, and he wouldn't be upset of it?
Oh, no, he would not be upset. 100%.
Okay, so like the thing that surprised me is I knew he took Propecia, but I didn't know that he carried around in his blue jeans, like a pocket full of pills without any device or receptacle, just floating around like I describe it as warm gummy bears in his pocket, you know?
Well, it's not like he's carrying around like an old person's pill case that has like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the time to take it. He just, you know, this is recreational.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like you got lint in your pocket, you know, you got money sometimes in your pocket.
Let me tell you something about Andrew's Aaron. You give the guy a button, he'll swallow it. He has no idea. He doesn't care what it is.
Oh, man.
Just kidding, Andrew.
Well, he was a very nice guy. I was kind of sad to see you guys go because I wanted to hang out some more. It's kind of weird because, you know, you meet certain people and you get along with everybody, but like at restaurants, but like there's certain people that you're like, oh, God, I want to hang out. I don't want to do my job. But unfortunately, that's the way it works. But one of the things I wanted to call in on, beyond the fact that you guys visited, was that around the time when you guys were leaving and after you left, there was this really hot girl that came in with this guy. And I don't know what it was, but she was very, aggressive with her flirtatious nature. And they were young. They were like 21, 20. And she's over here, we're literally talking. And you know how you vibe with a girl, you really get along. And it's like the other guy starts becoming like in the shadow. And as a server, that's very... dangerous because your money's there and your job's there if he gets upset. So I kept kind of including him. The guy, of course, had a great head of hair and was young and, you know, just very good looking guy. And she's over here literally pantomiming, call me right in front of him.
Really?
And it's not like, I don't want to say like, oh yeah, she's throwing herself at me. It was kind of like under the guise of we were talking about similar situations and I couldn't tell if she meant like, yeah, I know all about that. Call me. Like, if that's a new young thing, like, call me. I'll tell you all about it. Or if you say, call me. But she did it, like, the third time.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know what these young kids are doing these days. But it's like, they're on a date. It's her birthday.
Did you get her number?
I was going to say, did you get her
number? No, I didn't.
So how are you going to call her?
The guy, it was a $150 bill. He gave me $80. So I think he was appreciating the fact that I didn't. For all this.
Right.
Yeah. I actually mentioned it. I looked at him and I go, I feel sorry for you. I go, I knew you'd go everywhere and every guy thinks they had a shot with this girl because she's so flirtatious and just very friendly. And he's like shaking his head, yep. And he was very secure in himself. Like he didn't, it's almost like he cared, but he didn't care.
Right.
You know? But, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I'm considering getting out in the dating world again. And, we were talking about our hair and how that affects our confidence and especially when you start meeting younger girls and you know, just like the guy behind the bar, you remember the guy behind the bar I showed you?
Yeah. You showed me two guys behind the bar. One guy. Incredible hair.
Like literally like Joe, I'm telling you, a freak of nature. Like he has to shave back his hairline to get like a natural looking hairline because it comes so far and forth on his forehead. And it's like it's literally billowing out of his hair, like it's like cemented hard because it's so much that he has to totally control, you know, the grain and which way it goes. Right. And we're all sitting there looking at you, and that's what I was telling. The first way I introduced him to Spencer is like, look at this guy, fuck his hair. That's exactly how I introduced him. Guys like that. I had it. That's my thing now. That's how I release my tension. I go, fuck your hair. And they go, what? What? I'm like, your hair. Look at your hair. Fuck it. And he's like, well, you don't like it? And I go, no. It's like you're like a Ken doll. You're
it's
like,
unbelievable.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah. It's
a rock.
I don't know where they get this. Yeah, exactly. And you look at it, it's so thick and it's so perfect that you wonder, like, you know, we all kind of have that thing, and it's really sorry that it's really a pathetic thing, the feeling that we have. But when we're like, wait till you get 40, 45, we're going to see what you look like then. Yeah. You know, we all kind of like.
Enjoy it now, motherfucker. Enjoy it now.
Exactly.
But this guy hair was so thick, I was like, you're one of those bastards that would be like that forever. You're going to be like 80 years old, and you're gonna be like, oh, my hair, I got to shave it, you know, it's so much.
But I wanted to take a tape measure of Zarian's hair this week because it was insane how high he was wearing it. It was.
Well, you play.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You showed your cards, though, at the bar because I remember I used to listen to you guys before he took Propecia.
Yeah.
And he started talking about his hair. And you, on the air, would be like, there's nothing wrong with your hair. You don't need it. You don't need anything. Quit thinking about stuff. And then at the bar, he goes, you should have saw his hair before you started Propecia.
That's fucked up.
And I was like, oh, now the truth comes out. It's Andrew.
It was the hot toddies, man.
That's right. No, but in all reality, his hair was definitely helped by Propecia.
A lot.
In fact, last week was the 1 year anniversary of him first popping the pill.
Yeah, he was going to call today, but apparently he's too busy.
He's scared off by Joe.
He may have been. Yeah.
Did Joe call today?
Joe called today. Yeah.
Joe called right before you.
He said he was institutionalized because of the laser cap,
and because of people making fun of his voice on air.
Oh, did he really say that?
No, he did not. He didn't. He said the laser cap.
You son of a bitch, Joe. You got me. I felt like really, really bad for like 2 seconds. Well, I've used the laser cap. I didn't microwave my brain.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll be honest. I come out of the shower, I put that thing right on my midsection. I'm hoping it makes that thing grow, too.
Wow.
Hello.
Right. Just kind of like, you know. You never know. Lasers have those magic properties. Everything grows with lasers.
Hey, man.
Exactly.
Why not? That's actually not a bad idea. That would be – it would sell. Get like make it like a laser sock, extender. You know, a laser cock sock. Put that – I'm telling you, man.
Battery-powered.
I'm going to take out the domain right now, lasercocksock.com. Just purchase.
You may have a lot of guys in Hollywood wearing that during Halloween.
That's right. That's true.
They literally wear shit like that on Halloween in Hollywood.
They do.
They wear like blowing rods of stuff shooting out of their genitals and their butt and everything. Yeah, it's pretty crazy out there.
You gotta love it here. But man, listen, it was actually great. It was great seeing you. And I don't remember going to your table and saying that this guy's the best waiter in the world, but it's true. So,
well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, server, I guess you guys call yourselves.
Well, it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is we wait on tables, and we were there for you, so I don't give a shit what you call me. Just as long as you give me at least a 20% tip, that's all I care about. And I don't mean you. That's just for the world. I'm putting that out to the world. 20% is the tip, not 18, not 15, not 10. We hate you. We hate you unless it's
20%. 20% minimum.
Well, 18 is all right, but when you're in a fine dining place and they count your covers and they mark how long you're going to be there and all that stuff, you really need to hit those 20 numbers and up, you know?
Well,
you hit those.
Let's put it this way. I had to ask – I had to contact Brian from Los Angeles to make sure that we paid the bill.
No. I'm pretty sure you did. I would have probably heard about it because everybody saw me up there, the managers and all that stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm sure Andrew took care of it, or at least he used my credit card to take care of it. He just signs Abe Lincoln and works every time. All right, dude.
Nice.
All right, dude, man. It was good seeing you, and thanks for the call.
No problem.
And I'll try to be less guarded when I'm sober next time.
All right. That's what I'm looking for. I'm setting you up, man.
All right, dude. All right.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. Bye.
See you.
888-659-3727. It's true. I'm weirded out by shit.
Yeah, well, no, it's you got to protect yourself, right? You never know.
You know, I mean, I happen to like this guy. I think he's a really cool guy. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, I see like his headshots on my phone. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? You know?
What the hell is in my drink?
Yeah, and Andrew's telling me this.
Which is another issue. You can't trust what people put in your drinks.
That's true. Well, apparently, they were over-serving me. And they should, you know, luckily I wasn't driving. But I was on all kinds of, I was sick when Andrew came out here. I was on like DayQuil and NyQuil and whatever Quil that I can take.
Every Quil out there.
And then I'm doing hot toddy. So I'm like, oh, I'll do Jameson hot toddy. So I get to this steakhouse and they make me like a nice glass hot tea with honey and little Jamesons. So apparently they're pouring me like doubles. You know? Next thing I know, I'm telling some poor. I can't even imagine how that went down.
Well, it sounds like it was great fun had by all.
Yeah. I will try to take this call. Let's see if this goes through. And then, is it 6:30 already? Jesus.
I know.
Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. This is Joe from Boston. How are you?
Hey, Joe from Boston. What's happening?
How's it going,
how are
Joe?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Got to say, he's a great caller, that kid Brian.
Oh, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy, too, in person. So what's happening?
Not much. Just figured just call in, was listening to the show. I had a few procedures done earlier, and everything's going actually really good. I had about three procedures done.
I remember, I had one done.
Yeah, I had one done a couple of years ago. That was my last one. You know, I take the Prokesha, take that every other day, do the Rogaine. Everything's going good. The hair looks great.
That's fucking so great news, man.
Yeah, I just went in, had a checkup, was a couple of months back, and, you know, the procedures I had done were the strip.
Yeah.
Strip mm-hmm. procedures, which, you know, everything, like I said, looks great. But there's this one area, and it's like the lower left corner on the left side, and then maybe a small, small other little area in the lower right area by the ears, and in the middle is fine. That it kind of looks like it might be a little bit,
stretched.
I don't know, like...
Stretched?
Yeah, it's like stretched, and when she cuts my hair, the girl that cuts my hair actually, I think she's a little more careful on, like, those two corners.
Yeah.
So he had told me, he looked at it, and he had told me this before. He said, you know, I can take care of that. I think he called it a scalp reduction or something like that.
I doubt he used the term scalp reduction.
Scar reduction.
Scar reduction, yeah.
Scar reduction, yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. My bad.
I don't even know if a scar reduction for something that small is even worth it because you end up getting more stretch back.
No. Scar revision?
Scar revision, yes. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was. Scar revision, I believe. And like I said, it's the left-hand corner and the right-hand corner, but the left might be a little bit more concerning than the right. But I've been living with it now for, you know, a few years, and it doesn't bother me too much.
Let me ask a couple questions. Is the scar wide, or is the hair just reduced in density in those areas?
Maybe it might be a little bit.
I do know what you're saying.
It might be a little bit of lower
density.
It could be a little bit of both, because he did look at it a couple of times, like a few years back and then just recently, and he said something about it maybe being a little wider. But I do notice, like, when I brush it around that area, you know, I always have to kind of look at it twice, you know, to make sure it's covered.
Yeah.
But like I said, the middle is fine, and then the right side is a little bit like that, but not as bad.
And you're talking about the back two corners. So, like, if your head was shaped like a square, like a box, it would be the back left corner and back right corner.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I was going to say if he, when you take out a strip, when the surgeon is going along that area, what you're talking about are the two areas known as the mastoid processes, and these areas are traditionally tighter. Even on guys that have, you know, the loosest scalps out there, those two areas are going to be tighter traditionally on everyone.
They should be tapered, but a lot, most guys don't taper it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why a lot of doctors will take out the strip in sections instead of just one long continuous strip. We'll actually take it out in three sections where, like Spencer said, it's tapered over those two corners, as it were. And even, this is one of the problems with strip, even with the best doctor out there, it doesn't matter how much care he can take, still sometimes he can overestimate how much laxity is in that specific area, or any area really, but it's especially tricky in this area. And even with a fine scar, it can still be stretched to the point where it causes permanent shock loss. So that's why I was asking if it was a scar or just reduced in density.
I just thought it was the scar itself, but it could be maybe a little bit the reduced in density too.
Here's the thing. If there's no fibrotic tissue there, then a doctor can go in there and it would be easier to place, let me put the camera on me. It'd be easier to place, extra grafts in that area.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to reduce non-scarred tissue, and which you can do, but there's always a chance of it becoming it will become fibrotic to some degree, and there's always a chance of it stretching out. So if you could avoid that, you want to avoid that. A lot of guys will go in, even if it's a small area, and think they can do a relatively low-tension scar reduction or scar revision. But even with the slightest tension in certain areas, it's still, you know, as you move your head, you're causing more tension. So it's very possible you're going to get stretched back as well. Joe, you saw this every day in your practice, probably. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, and the thing is I agree with everything you said. I think that, you know, listen to your case. You're happy with your hair. It looks good. You know, Propecia's working, Rogaine's working, the hair transplant's working. You win.
Yeah, you don't need no hair greed. You should just kind of like move on.
You win. You've just achieved what everyone's looking for. Satisfaction, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't get there. But to address these issues, if they are to the point where you feel like you need to do something, don't go for a procedure that removes tissue. Go for something that adds. In other words, FUE into the scar, be it, you know, scalp hair into the scar, or even beard hair into the scar, or even try trichopigmentation into the scar tissue with a qualified, legitimately reliable clinic. I think those are probably, if you need to do something, and I'm not even saying you need to, that's up to you. I would actually discourage you from doing anything if all you have to do is just make sure it's covered a little bit. But if it does get to the point where it's just bugging the living shit out of you and you can't go through the day without checking it out, then those are your options I'd recommend.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like what you just said. Like, I have to check it all the time and stuff. It's just something that he had offered to do. He didn't really think it was a big deal, but that's why I was calling, because I know I'm sure you've seen it a lot. That just, is it really worth doing, especially in small areas, him going in there? He just said he would numb it up and, like, almost pinch it together, sew it up, and then take the stitches out in, like, 2 weeks after or something. No cutting or anything, I don't think he said.
But there are stitches involved.
Yeah, I mean, if he can't just pinch it, then there'll be extra skin. So you have, like, this weird flap of skin. So he would have to cut the skin out.
Yeah, maybe I didn't really listen to him too, but we didn't really get to talk about it too long. But I was just.
I would say that's a relatively old school approach. But again, you know, if you're comfortable with that, you know, and you could do more research on it, then that could be a possibility. But I think Joe gave you some good advice. If you really don't have to deal with it, if it's not something you're looking at or something that's noticeable, and if every once in a while you have to kind of just move your hair back over it, then you win. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Because you always end up causing more harm.
Right. Yeah, that's – and then I thought I remember you saying something before a while back about it just stretching out again too. So that's why I wasn't too sure if I should really be too serious about it.
If it hasn't stretched since it's stretched, meaning if it hasn't changed in a long time, in many years – then I would probably go with Joe's advice and maybe talking to somebody about adding something as opposed to removing something. Because if you're adding something, at the very least, you know you're going to break up that little bit of scar tissue or that vacancy of, where there's no hair. Trichopigmentation, which could be temporary trichopigmentation, could be an answer for you because you're going to break up that contrast between your hair and your scalp. And that may just be enough. Where you go in there, put a couple hundred dots in there, and you're done. And if you like it, you get it done again. If you don't, it fades. You know, that's a possibility too.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, obviously now calling you guys, I probably won't do it only because I can live with it, but it was just something that, you know, I watched here and there and just thought it kind of sounded like it would be maybe a real easy process and stuff. But
you could also consider, depending on your hair coloring and if you could find the right match, you could use a little derm match back there.
He said something about going and get it tattooed or something. They have a lady that'll tattoo it, go in there and tattoo it.
Yeah, they do. And that's what we're talking about, trichopigmentation. But you've got to go to the right person and make sure it's not permanent. So You can try something temporary, very temporary, like Dermatch, which is a compact makeup type of thing. Something like that, you need one or two brushes, put it on, comb your hair, and it disappears. Yeah. And if you could, you know, if that's all it would take for you to be completely comfortable, then, you know, you buy a little packet of that for whatever. How much? I don't even know how much it is because they actually semi-mine. But it's probably about $40 or $60 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, so you have options, and the first option is really to do nothing, especially if you're happy.
Yeah, I mean, I've done nothing this long, too, so I probably will just, you know, do nothing. I'm just, you know, glad I got to hear the advice, because at first it just sounded something real simple to go in and do, and, you know, you're out in a half hour, but, you know, I'd probably just, like you said, just leave enough alone if it's working for you.
You know, I totally understand why it sounds like it's simple. It's because that's the way it was made to sound. And, you know, surgically speaking, it is simple. It is simple. Make no mistake. But it's more simple for the doctor, because once you walk out the door, he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. You do.
Right.
And it's not quite so simple for you. You're the one that has to deal with the recovery. You're the one that has to deal with the prospect of it not turning out the way that it was presented that it would turn out. You're the one that has to go back and do something else if this time it fucks up and stretches out even worse, right? Never forget that. Never, ever forget that. I don't care which doctor you're talking to. I don't care what procedure. I don't care if you're going to the dentist. That's a simple procedure. Well, yeah. Are you coming home to suffer with me? No. It ain't so simple, is it? So always keep that.
Right.
And like I said earlier on, you win, dude. You're happy with a minor thing that just kind of bugs you a little bit. Screw it. It's like no one else knows, is it? And if they do, they're not going to say, oh, Joe from Boston had surgery. It doesn't work. Right?
Right.
So I say move on, personally.
Yeah. No, I probably most definitely will now. I mean, I just probably just need it just to, you know, hear that much, you know? Because like I said, it just did sound pretty simple at first, but I know how I feel. And, you know, I know how it felt after. It felt like it was stretched. It was very, very sensitive back there in the left-hand corner for a while. But then it wasn't as sensitive anymore. But I just remember when it was sensitive how it felt. And it will probably get like that again if they go in there and aggravate it.
Yeah, and it's not so much of an issue of it being as bad as it was before, because they're not doing nearly as much as they did when they, you know, took out the actual strips to transplant hair. But it's still something that can... And you know what? Actually, the thing is even a small procedure now, it can aggravate the situation that you had before. And it, who knows? It might even make it worse. It might cause more tension in the area, which can cause more, not just stretch back, but permanent shock loss in the donor zone. It can, maybe you might not get complete nerve regeneration. I've seen that happen.
Here's my question. What color is your hair now?
It's like a brownish, light brownish.
All right. Go on Dermatch's website, or, you know, Spencer Forest. They have this stuff called Couvray, or there's all different types of products to, you know, camouflage thinning areas. Go buy some. Try to match your hair color. It won't cost you much money. Give it a shot. It would literally, for something from what you're describing, it will take you less than 10 seconds to cover it. And that can completely be life-changing. You know, you won't have to worry about it. The wind blows, whatever it is. If that's a slight concern, no one's going to see it. And it could be something as adding a little something like that every morning to your scalp can save you a whole lot of trouble and a lot of money.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually. I can look into that as well.
All right, man. Well, listen, always good hearing from you. And
I appreciate the help, guys. I mean that. And great, great, great show. And, you know, you wonder why you're on the air so long, Spencer. You help a lot of people. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, man. You take care.
Thanks for calling in, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I'm not even going to get the phone number.
Why chase it, man?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's all right. We've got 8 minutes left. And,
no,
I mean,
I'm talking about him.
Oh, him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he won. I mean, he got what he wanted, and there's a slight issue that just kind of slightly bugs him. And
well, that's why I think makeup is the way to go, especially if he's cool with it. Some guys just aren't cool with it, but it's just you take a little brush, boom, it's done.
Yeah. No, it makes sense to me.
You know, very easy. Very easy. Well, look, dude, we had a great show. I think we're going to call it a night.
I think it's ended on a high note that works.
It's that time.
It is that time. Time for a beer. I need my wine.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. After we did the interview today, I decided, you know, I feel like getting some food. I went to get some sushi. I always have to have a drink when I have sushi. Well, they claim you should because of the bacteria. I just use that as an excuse. So I had a couple of glasses, came back, had my beer, and I just had this glass of wine. So I'm pretty set for the night.
I'm actually jealous. I've not been in that situation. I have not been fortunate enough. I'm actually kind of not feeling good about sushi, even though I eat it probably four times a week, because it eventually happens. That one piece of sashimi just doesn't smell right.
It happened to you.
It happened. It was we got it near closing, and that's not a good time to get sushi.
Yeah. And also, I have to say that, you know, you really shouldn't eat sushi that as often as you do. There's a lot of mercury, especially in the bigger fishes, tuna, yellowtail, you know.
What's his name? Who's the actor that supposedly got mercury poisoning from too much tuna sashimi? It was, he's in, I can't think of anything right now. Anyway.
Well.
I'll listen to you.
It happens.
I'll listen to that advice. It happens.
I would probably have it no more than once or twice a week.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. I love it. It's one of my favorite foods.
And it's so cheap up here.
Yeah.
And it's so good. I mean, it's like so fresh, except for last night. And anyway, I could talk about it forever. I love sushi. But
yeah, and the guy that keeps calling in and hanging up. I'm not taking your call, dude, so you can hang up now. He just did.
At least he's listening.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, guys, listen, let me give out the websites. TheBaldTruth.com. You want to see archives of this broadcast? Check them out. Sorry we've been delayed with the archives. We have one from 2 weeks ago, which we should get online by tomorrow. We're going to try to get this program up by Thursday. I have some other segments of the UK show with Specs that will be online very soon, so look forward to that. And that's TheBaldTruth.com. You could also obviously see us at GuysFromQueens.com. Want to thank, let's see, I have to go to Skype to check this out, DiamondClub.tv for airing the program for the first time. All the Diamond Club listeners and viewers, thank you so much for checking us out. Absolutely. And obviously we are on iHeartRadio again. I don't know, I think there was some sort of an issue where, because we weren't doing it weekly, we were taken off, but we are back on iHeartRadio, so everyone who's listening to us on an iHeartRadio station, in their cars or wherever, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's see. The message forum website, baldtruthtalk.com, which is our message forum. Again, you know, we talk about message forums all the time. Just be careful. Even though it's my message forum, you never know who the fuck is writing what if it's anonymous. So make sure you know who the source is before you take any serious advice when it comes to anything hair loss on any message form, including mine. That's baldtruthtalk.com. For the American Hair Loss Association, that's americanhairloss.org. You can always check out Joe Tillman and his blogs and information on hairtransplantmentor.com. Until next time, be strong, God bless, and thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Good night.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for any inconvenience you may have been put to prior to the program. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if you could now leave by the exits at the rear, that'd be splendid. Thank you. Good night.